so unworthy to stand up this morning before you. I'm glad there's forgiveness and the help of God. But I tell you, I feel like I just failed him so bad this week. And I have days that way, Brother Robert. And then there's good days. To God be the glory. But I can praise his name. Brother, if I have a bad day, it's me. It ain't him.
That's right.
And he's still God. I can praise him. There's a purpose in it. That don't give me no excuse. But there's purpose of God. I'm thankful for his goodness, grace to us this morning. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, we'll look there. I really want to look at some verses. I just kind of read over it last Sunday, but it's a lot said. I mean, God, in these chapters in Ephesians where we're at now, he really is dealing with this church and their walk, Brother Hyatt, and after what God's done for them. First part of this book is really was election and predestination of God and the purpose of God, and God dealt with that a lot, and he's dealing with them now, writing to them, I should say, about now their life after redemption of God. He's writing to them as saints. They're the body, Brother Todd. They're the church. They're saved by the grace of God, and that's who he's writing to. He's not writing this to the world. He's writing it to the people of God and the church. In fact, the Bible's written that way. And let's look in verse number 30. And I'm just going to read verse 29, and then we'll look at verse 30. But verse 29, he said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." He's saying that's what should proceed out of our mouth. And I'll say this morning, you look at somebody, a lot of times, Brother Robert, some things, I'd just be better off than just don't even say. And I learned that, but I by no means have arrived. I ain't reached no special plateau, Brother Hyde, and I need the help of God in it, and I do. I mean, but he's saying there that what comes out of our mouth, it ought to be for edification. It ought to edify. It ought to build up. And he goes on into it deeper into the next chapter. He gets even deeper into that concerning this. And I know, Brother Robert, you taught on the tongue, James, and I mean, it's just convicting, but he said that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That person that's hearing it, it should minister the grace of God to them. When they hear that, it ought to be a graceful word to help them. And we all need the grace of God. And listen, some days, you know of your own life, Brother Todd, you know this of yourself, and you know that better of yourself more than anybody else. But there's days you could really use a word. There's days you could really use a word of grace. And we don't know what somebody's going through. We don't know what the next person, our neighbor, our brother, sister, don't know what day they've had or what week they've had. And what proceeds out of our mouth, he's saying that it ought to edify them and it ought to minister the grace of God to them. When they hear what we speak, it ought to be a help. It ought to be a help. You know, people say, anybody got a word from the Lord? Well, that's what he's saying here. It ought to be a word from the Lord that would minister the grace of Jesus Christ to the hearer. When they hear it come out of your mouth, it ought to help them. And it ought not just be vain words or something that would kick them down. It ought to help them, thank God. He said, notice this, he said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." He said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." We know this morning, thank God. Listen, the Spirit of God, he's holy. He's pure. We know that the Holy Spirit of God is Christ's Spirit that lives in you. That's who he is. That's who the Holy Ghost is. He is the very Spirit of Christ that abides in the believer, Brother Robert, that the Lord's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is who lives in you. He's in you this morning. Therefore, that's how the kingdom of God is in you. That's how you see the kingdom of God. That's how the kingdom of God abides in you, is his Holy Spirit. And he said, "And grieve him not." That word grieve means to sadden, or to sorrow, or to distress. It's a dampening, Brother Hyde. It's a grieving. It's grievous. It's not, It's not that edifying. It's not that grace. It's not graceful, but it's grieving. That's why he said before that, don't let that come out of your mouth. Don't do that, Brother Robert. He's telling us that that is a way to grieve him, but that's also a way not to grieve him. If we abide in that, live in that, then listen, if you're speaking that that's edifying and it's grace to the hearers, that is not grievous to the Holy Spirit of God. It's not grievous. It's not. I fail in it. I mean, sometimes I'd be a lot better to bite the tongue and just cut it out and not even let it say things. And it hurts me, Brother Hatton. The reason it does is it hurts. It grieves the Holy Ghost. It ain't no good in it. And again, I say I'm thankful that there's forgiveness, Brother Robert. And there is. Thank God he's faithful and just. He will, thank God. If we confess it with a forsaken heart, I mean, we want to forsake it and we confess it. I believe Jesus will forgive you, but sometimes the damage is already done and it takes a while to get it back, thank God. And listen, it takes a while, Brother Hyde, to get back in tune with God. It ain't just a flip a switch. It just ain't, thank God. Listen, I'm glad that there's forgiveness, but there is a difference between forgiveness and fellowship. Now, you get fellowship with forgiveness. But we can be forgiven and we are forgiven, Brother Robert. My sins are forgiven. You're saved by the grace of God. You might not believe this, but your sins is forgiven, Brother Hyatt, forever committed. Because it's in Christ. It's done. That's no excuse. I don't give nobody no license to sin that they can say, well, it's forgiven. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's forgiven, but the fellowship and walking in God and walking in the Spirit of God and not have him grieve that lives within you, that don't flip back on just by turning the lights on. It just don't, Brother Robert. It just don't. He said, don't grieve him. Don't grieve him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And he said, whereby? That takes the meaning of this is how. This is the way. This is the method. This is the purpose, Brother Hyde. This is who. This is who. This is how God has done it. He said, we are sealed. We're sealed. You're sealed in God. You're sealed in Christ this morning if you're saved by the grace of God. And how that is so is by the Holy Spirit of God. That's how God does it. That's how God did it. Listen, the Holy Ghost is who revealed Christ to you. A man did not. If you're saved by the grace of God, no, it's fine. Everybody don't believe it. I know that God uses man and that's his purpose and that's how he does it. I understand that. He works and lives in his body here on this earth. I understand that. I believe that as much as anybody does. But no man has ever led another man to God. He's been used in the hand of God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He chose by the fullness of preaching. I get it, Brother Hyde. We have to believe that. We cannot deny the word of God. This is how God chose to do it. But listen, the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you, it lives in you. He's the one that led you to Christ. He's the one that pointed him out. He gave revelation, Brother Hyde. The Holy Ghost revealed Christ to me. And God, after this has happened, whereby ye are sealed. You're sealed, thank God. Sealed how? Sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. That's how God did it. Christ did it. His Spirit, Brother Hyde, seals a man in him. I'm sealed this morning. You're sealed. That's how you're in the Father's hand. That's how you're unpluckable. No man's able to pluck you out of my Father, which he's greater than all. He said, I and my Father are one. You're in the hand of God and you're unpluckable. How? Because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's how God did it. That's how God, it's not in me, Brother Robert. It's not in me. I had a rough week this week and I really, in my own heart, I feel like miserably I failed God this week. But my sealing is not in that. It's not. I'm not saying there's an excuse, and there's no excuse for it. If we walk in God, thank God, then we grieve not the Holy Spirit. But listen, my sealing is not in me. My sealing's not in you. My sealing's not in what I read this morning or what I've read this week, Brother Robert. They come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but the sealing is by the Holy Spirit of God. He sealed me, thank God, and you're sealed in Christ. That's your position. If you can get that, then you can rest in that. And this, listen, you can rest in that. You can find peace in that. You can find forgiveness in that, Brother Robert. When we sin against God, you can find forgiveness in that, thank God. You can go to him, thank God. He's the everlasting Father. He's your Father if you're saved by the grace of God. And if you go to him, thank God, he'll forgive you. Listen, he'll show the favor and kindness of God. And a natural, listen, a natural man, I'm paraphrasing, a natural man, if his child asks for a fish, he's not going to feed him a rock. He's not going to do that. Why that, Brother High? You got two children. If they come to you and they had a need, if they still did today, but I'm talking about when there's the children, if there's hungry, thank God, you and Miss Meyer, y'all gave them something to eat. You didn't give them a rock. You gave them a piece of bread if that's what they wanted, or a fish, or a hamburger, or something, thank God. Something that they ate to eat, thank God. Well, he's that way, thank God. I'm sealed in him because, listen, by his Holy Spirit promise. Sealed, thank God. He said, notice this, until the day of redemption. I said last week, listen, the Holy Ghost is the seal of God. In you this morning, believer, child of God. That's why, thank God, his witness, Brother Hyde, is the proof of the work of God. His witness in you. He tells you that you're his child. He tells you that you're saved by the grace of God. He tells you that you're sealed. He tells you that there's an eternal work been done in you. He's the one that does that, Brother Robert. Why is that? Because he's the one that sealed you. He's the seal of God. He's the stamp, thank God. Listen, when God, it looks to me like, Brother Hyde, that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, it looks like he's there. According to the scripture, he's there right now. That's where he's at. That's the very presence of Christ where he's at. He's sitting at the right hand throne of God. Now, I know he's in a believer, but I'm talking about where he's at. It looks to me like, listen, when God looks at you, he sees his seal. And he says, that's mine. That's how. He looks at you, Brother Robert, looks at you, Brother Todd. He ain't looking for nothing but his seal. He don't see anything that but his seal, Brother Hyde, that's his claim, that you're his, that he purchased you. His seal, thank God. And but notice that he said, well, you are sealed until the day of redemption. You're sealed. This total redemption, this redemption of body has not taken place yet, but we're sealed until then. We're sealed, thank God. Listen, we're sealed. We have his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice this. In this same book, I'm going to read it. We've looked at it. He said, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. You trusted him. You believed him after you heard the word of truth. After that word of truth, Brother Robert, sank down in your heart, and where faith is at, where belief's at, where the work of God's at, where the gift of God, which is faith, the faith of God, where that's at. That listen, you heard and you trusted the word of truth. He said, the gospel of your salvation. Christ is the gospel. He said, in whom, there it is again, also after that you believed. You trusted, you believed after you heard the gospel. He said, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That's now, Brother Todd. That's right now, in time. I understand everything always has been in eternity, in God, in Christ. Sure it has. If it hadn't, then he's not eternal. But he is, and it is. I don't understand that, Brother Hyde. That's a whole other lesson, a whole other thought. But how people can deny anything concerning Christ, the eternity of it. Mm-hmm. If the election of God's not eternal, then he's not. Can't be, Brother Robert. Listen, it has to be eternal because he's eternal. Has to be. Now verse 4, he said, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Who you have this morning, church, child of God, you have the Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of Christ lives in you. He said it's the earnest of our inheritance. It looks to me like, Brother Hyatt, our inheritance is Christ. I know there's a place over on the other side, and it's prepared for us, and the Bible has a lot to say about heaven, and there's a lot to be said, and I don't understand a whole lot about it, but I know who's on the other side and who purchased me and who I'm going to see, and my inheritance is him. He said right now, the Holy Spirit of promise is the earnest of your inheritance. It's the earnest. It's who you have now. It's a down payment, if you want to put it that way. It's the Spirit of Christ. When this redemption, he said, until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's you. That's the elect of God. That's the child of God. That's the child of God. That's them that all come to repentance. That's who it is that he purchased. There is a people, there's a specific number, and there's a people of God that he purchased on Calvary, Brother Todd, and that's who he's talking about right here in Ephesians chapter 1. He said the redemption of the purchased possession. You're his possession because he purchased you. That's easy. That ain't too hard to understand. Listen, that's just biblical truth. He said, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. Listen, when the redemption takes place, thank God, when the redemption takes place, listen, right now you have the earnest of your inheritance, but when the redemption takes place, Brother Robert, you'll have the full inheritance and you'll be in the presence, thank God, of the one that purchased you, Brother Hyatt, the Son of God. Thank God, we'll be in his presence, thank God. Yes. Literally in time. That's right. In time, that's going to take place. Always has been in God, but it's going to take place in time. He said here in the Word of God, he said we're sealed until the day of redemption. There's a redemption that has not taken place. There's a battle that you go through this week. I had a rough week. Brother Robert, you know why that is? Because the redemption of the purchased possession has not taken place in totality, in time. It has not happened. In God it has, in Christ. He cried out, it is finished. That means everything's done. It's done. It's over with. There ain't nothing else to, there's nothing else has to take place, Brother High. There's nothing I have to do. Listen, there's nothing else Jesus has to do. There's nothing else God has to do. All that's done. It's over with. There's nothing to add to it. God is not going to do anything else, thank God, to purchase you. He's already purchased. He's already made the payment, thank God. It's there, thank God. The blood, thank God, that he shed, thank God. It satisfied God. It satisfied the holiness and the justice and the judgment of God on sin. That satisfied what he did on Calvary. The payment's made, thank God. But listen, right now we have the Holy Spirit of promise. We have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. We're sealed until the day of redemption. In that day, you'll be in his presence, thank God, and all the inheritance will be in full in that moment. Because you, listen, we're sealed until then, Brother Hyde. Yes. Until then. Yes. That means there ain't no getting out. You don't want to get out. There's nobody getting you out. The devil can't get you out. He'll battle you, and he'll beat on you. And he'll desire to have you that he might sift you as wheat, Brother Hyde. There's no denying that. He's going to beat and bang on you and battle against you as long as you're living here. If you're living for God, that's going to happen. But listen, nobody can get you out nobody can take you out of the hand of God because his seal's in you, on you. For me to be, listen, child of God, Brother Hyde, for you to be defeated and to the point that you're no longer a child of God, well, then God would have to be defeated. Right. And that can't happen. That's impossible. He's in you. He said, notice this. And then he said, verse 31, now he's talking about grieving the Holy Ghost. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I'm not going a lot of details. A lot could be said there. A lot could be named there. That's not my point this morning, but he said, listen, there's a battle there. We have a battle with that. Now listen, he said, let that be put away from you. Remember, he said, put on the new man. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put that away, Brother Robert. Is that saying, listen, this, he's saying put that away. Paul knows, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul knows that they're of like passions as he is, and there's a battle. He knows that, Brother Hyde. He knows that. He's writing to this church. Again, I'm not making no excuse for it. He knows that there's a battle there, that they're going to have a battle with it. That this is an issue. This is an issue. Look what it was written in the book of James. There, obviously, God knows there's an issue and there's a battle there, and he does know that. And this word is written to us. He said, put that away. Don't let the bitterness, I'm telling you this much, bitterness, if you hang on to it, it'll eat like a cancer. I know this, Brother. I know it by experience. I know what the word of God says. You've got to get rid of it. You can't hang on to it because it'll just keep on eating. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. It might start out the size of a golf ball, but when it gets to the bottom of a mountain, it'll crush a house. It'll go right through it, Brother Robert. It won't even slow down a bit. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and bitterness is a terrible thing. And if you hold it in, if I hold it in, I'm telling you this much, it will grow. It will not get smaller. Never. It ain't going to happen, Brother Robert. It's not. God help me, forgive me, get it out of me. I don't want it. He said, in wrath. We know what wrath means, in anger, in clamor, loudness. He said, in evil speaking. Evil speaking. Now, that covers it. If I can say this, that's a whole big old umbrella. And I ain't got time to go into all that, Brother Robert. I'm telling you, it said evil speaking. He said, be put away from you. You can look on in the next chapter. You can look on, and God will get there. And he talks about we were sometime darkness. And he said, let it not be once named. He named some things. Let it not be once named. He's a sinner saved by the grace of God. That that are very apt to sin without the help and grace of God, just like you and I are. It's in us. That old man, that Adam, that flesh, Brother High, still does not care or want anything to do with God.
That's right.
It don't. And it ain't getting no better. As you come closer to the day of redemption, if anything, the flesh has lived longer. If anything, it'll get worse. It ain't getting no better. It ain't no closer if you've been saved 30, I've been saved 30, 32 years, 30, 33 years. If you've been, however long you've been saved, the flesh is no more closer to God than it was before God saved you. And it ain't going to get no closer. It's not. There's a battle here. He said, the bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. He said, put it away. How do you do that? Put on the new man. Put ye on the new man. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can do it, because if you don't, if you give place, Brother Robert, if you give place, thank God, to the devil, if you give place to the flesh, then it's going to run. It's going to take over. It's going to take it and run. If I give my flesh an inch, if you give your flesh an inch, it'll snatch it up and go 10 miles before you know it. Overnight, just in a little blink of a time, it's fast, it's quick, Brother Hyde. I'm telling you, you can't. He said, put it away. That's why he said, put that away from you. Put it away. Get rid of it. Be put away from you. Notice, as he said, with all malice. Let me tell you what malice means. It means to harm. It means injurious. It has the meaning of depravity, and it has the meaning of evil. And that's what he said. He said evil speaking. All these things he named, he said with all malice. And Brother Hyde, if you look at that word malice, church, if we look at that word malice, everything that he named in that one verse is bound up in malice is there. Malice is there. It's like sin and pride. Sin comes in, there's pride with it. There's pride with it. And it's a hard thing to get rid of. It's a battle. And the only way you can do it is with the help of God. He said, put it away. He said, with all malice. That means that bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, And he said, put it away. He said, it with all malice, but he's saying that there's harm in there. There's injury in there. There's depravity there. There's evil in that. It ain't no good before God, and it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. He just talked about grieve not. And then he says, all this right here, put it away. Why, Brother Todd? Because that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It quenches him. It dampens him, thank God. The liberty's not there. The freedom's not there. The joy in the Holy Ghost is not there. The fellowship's not there. Why? Because he's grieved. He's sensitive. He's a whole lot more sensitive than I am or you are. Why is that? Because he's the Holy Spirit of God. He's the Holy Spirit of promise, Brother High. He's not a man. He's the Spirit of God. He's sensitive. Who's he sensitive toward? God. He's sensitive to the things of God. And when I'm contrary to the things of God, it grieves him. He said, put it away. He said, it's malice. And then he said, he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And he said these things in verse 31 that will grieve him real quick, probably as much or as quick than anything, Brother Hyde. And it proceeds out of our heart and it comes off our tongue. And I'd say that probably grieved the Holy Spirit of God as quick as anything.
Yeah.
Is an ill word, an evil speaking, malice, harm, injurious, these things that he named, that grieves him. And then he said in verse 32, he tells you how not to grieve. He's telling the church, he said, and be ye kind one to another.
Yeah.
Be ye kind one to another. That's a help. That ministers grace. That ministers edification. That goes along with the gifts that he gave the church, Brother Hyatt. The purpose of him giving them to the church was edification. He said, give the grace to the hearers. That comes out of your mouth, good to the use of edifying. That it ministers grace in the hearer. Be kind one to another, tender hearted. Do you know what I have a battle with? And a lot of things proceed from it, Brother. I'm being honest before you and the church, God this morning. God knows my heart. I can't hide nothing from God no how. No man can.
Nope.
One of the biggest battles I have, maybe you don't. If you don't, I thank God for the grace of God towards you. But being tenderhearted. Hard-heartedness never pulls up to God. It don't. Hard-heartedness and the Spirit of God are not the same, Brother Hyde. Tender-heartedness and the Holy Ghost that lives in you, they join arms in that and they commune with that, Brother Todd. It's a battle for me. It is. I tell you, I like for things to be right, Brother Hyde. And I don't like them when they're not right. And all that has to do with my upbringing. And I'm not making no excuse for being hard, so having hard-heartedness in me, Brother Todd. I need the help of God. I need you to pray for me with it. And I need the help of God. But tender-hearted. I've asked myself this a lot of times, Brother High. What if Christ was like me? Well, we'd all be in hell. It'd all be in hell. Notice this. I'm going to get to it. Tenderheartedness is a work of God. You do not have the ability. And I know some, Brother Hyde, I know some people's personality is different and all that. I understand that.
Sure.
That is a true fact. God made us all different. There's no clones and robots in here. God made every one of us different.
Yes,
and some people are more tenderhearted than others. I'd say ladies are probably across the board are more tenderhearted than a man is. That's just the absolute truth. That's the way God made you. That's the way God made us. I didn't have nothing to do with that. God did. And it's right. He did it right. He did it the way he purposed it. And he didn't make no mistake in it, Brother Hyde. But tenderheartedness is a work of God. Sir, this morning, ma'am, this morning, listen, you do not have the ability to make your heart tender. God does. I don't have the ability to make my heart tender. God does. Some things I don't have much of a battle with it, Brother Hyatt. Some things I have a big battle with it in being tender-hearted towards. But Christ is tender-hearted, and Christ forgives, and Christ saved by the grace of God. And this is what he said. He said, be ye kind one another. Here's how you don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He said, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. That's a work of Almighty God. If my heart is made more tender tomorrow than it is today, Brother Hyde, I'm not, listen, there's a responsibility of man to pull up to God. I understand and get there. There's no man, man's without excuse. He cannot duck out from under the responsibility of God. The much is given, much is required. I understand that. I get it. That's absolute truth. But if my heart is more tender tomorrow than it is today, it'll be because the work of God took place. Yeah. That's the only way it can happen. You can pray and ask God and walk to. I ask for the help of God, Brother Todd. I do. And God's helped me along the way. I still need a heap pile load of help in it. What I'm saying is, it's the work of God. He said, tender-hearted. Listen, who's got the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Spirit of promise in you that you're sealed by, thank God. He's the one working this. He's the one that's doing it, Brother Hyde. He's God. Yeah. He's God. And everything he does is going to be according to Christ and to his glory. He said, notice this, forgiving one another. Now, if I'm tender-hearted, I can forgive you. If I got hard-heartedness in me, Brother Todd, towards you, then I probably ain't going to forgive you. You had to get rid of it. Hard-heartedness and forgiveness does not go together. They ain't going to bed. They ain't laying down in the bed with each other at night. They're not. They're night and day difference. And that's why God said tender-hearted. And then he said forgiving one another. If you're tender-hearted towards someone, if you got tender-heartedness in you that's worked in by God Almighty, then listen, you can forgive. But if you're hard-hearted, you won't. You're not going to. I don't know any of y'all like I know myself, but you're right, Brother Hyde. You said it before we started this morning. We came from the same man. Yeah. We got the same blood, got the same problem. Some more than others in areas. I understand and get that. But I'm telling you this much, hard-heartedness, Sister Linda, will not forgive. It won't. Now notice what he said. I know we're not God. I know you're not Jesus Christ. God forgave us, Brother Hyde. He forgave me of my sins, and he don't remember them.
Right.
They're gone.
Yes.
They're gone. They don't exist. He completely, to the uttermost, saves you, and that's gone. He don't see that no more, Brother Todd. And listen, we're human. We're not Christ. But he said, forgiving one another. Notice this. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Why are you forgiven? For Christ's sake. Because of Christ. Why am I forgiven this morning, Brother Hyde? Because of Christ. For his sake. That's what he's saying here, the word of God. But he said, forgiving one another. Now, listen. I know, Brother Hyde, I'm human. And everybody in here this morning is human. I'm not God, Brother Todd. I'm not making no excuse this morning. Hear me out. But forgiving one another, even as God hath, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, That does take the meaning. Truly forgive somebody, then you forgive them and go on. You forgive them and go on. Now, Christ does not remember them, Brother Hyde. Now, if you bring it up, I'm not Christ, Brother Todd. But if you bring it up of somebody that's done me wrong, I probably will remember it because I'm not God. It can come back to my remembrance. But here's the thing, Brother Hyde. If I truly forgive them, then I'm not walking like I remember it. If I forgive you like God forgave me and how he forgave you, I might not have the ability to forget it, but I'm going to walk in forgiveness like I have forgot it. I'm not walking in remembrance of it is what I'm saying. If I truly forgive you, and what he's saying here, forgiving one another even as, he makes a reference, he makes a comparison, Brother Robert, not comparing me to God, that's not what he's saying. He's making a comparison to the forgiveness that God's give you for Christ's sake. He's saying that we ought to forgive one another in that same matter. And even though, Sister Lynn, I might not have the power and ability to forgive, I can walk not in remembrance of it if I truly forgave you. You ain't done nothing wrong to me. I'm not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you did. He said if we forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, then you forgive that person and you go on. Now, I've done it before, Brother Hyde. I've done it before, church. Now, I'm speaking about me this morning. I brought it back up. You know what that means? I didn't really forgive them. That's being honest. Because if I really forgive as God forgave me, Brother Todd, God don't bring up my sin. You hear me? He's forgot them. I can remember it. If I dig it up, or the devil, or my flesh, or somebody else brings it up, yes, I will remember it. But if I walk in that remembrance, then I never truly forgave. The real forgiveness that God gave to me for Christ's sake never took place, Brother Robert. And listen, what I'm saying to you is I do have the ability to forgive you that way because the Holy Ghost is in me. How do you forgive as God forgave? By the help of God, by the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Holy Spirit of promise that's in you. That's how you forgive like God forgives. And you walk not in remembrance, even though you can. You're not walking that way. Your conversation's not that way, Brother Robert, if true forgiveness is there. I don't see in your heart. I don't know everything that's ever been in your life. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. If I walk in remembrance of something that I said I forgave somebody for, then I really did not forgive them. You forgive them, and you ask the help of God, Sister Linda. Lord, help me forget that. Don't let me walk in that. Put that away. Put it away, Brother Hyde. There's that bitterness. There's that evil speaking. There's that clamor. That brings these things up. God done said put that away because that quenches the Holy Ghost. Don't walk in that thing, God. He said be tenderhearted, kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You can do that. I can do that, Sister Lynn. I can. You can do that. We can. The church body can do that. How are you going to do that? By the seal of God, the Holy Spirit of promise. That's how you do that, Brother Rob. How you love one another that ain't your natural family. It ain't too hard to love your own natural family, Brother Rob. Now, I guess we all got some folks in our family that, you know, sometimes it's hard. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. It ain't hard for you to love your wife and kids. Them youngest run around here, that's your blood. They come from your loins. That ain't hard to do that. It's not. It ain't hard to love them. But what about folks outside of that? What about the people of God? How do you love the people of God? How are you tenderhearted towards them, and how do you love them? How are you kind to them? How do you forgive them as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you? By the Holy Ghost. By the power of God. There's the family right there. We did come from Adam, Brother Robert. So if you want to trace it back all the way back there, then we all kin anyway. Noah. If you want to go to Noah, we all kin there. God killed everybody else. He destroyed them. Sure. There wasn't nobody but eight people. Right. That's it. Noah and his three sons and their wives. That's it. There wasn't nobody else alive. But we're not with what we say, we're not blood kin. So what makes us kin? The Holy Ghost. What makes us family? The Holy Ghost. How do you forgive? How do you kind one to another? How are you tenderhearted? How do you forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, forgive you? By the Holy Ghost. You love them. And listen, the love he's talking about here, Sister Linda, is greater than what you've forgiven them for. If somebody sinned against you and done you wrong and you're forgiving them, the tenderheartedness and the kindness and the love and forgiveness of God that he's talking about here is greater than that anyway. It's greater than that sin that somebody sinned against you, done you wrong. It's greater than what you're forgiving them for. So with his help, listen to me, with his help, it ain't no problem. Ain't that right, Brother Rob? It really is. In the Holy Ghost, Brother Todd, in the Holy Spirit of promise, in the love of God, it's easy to forgive. Outside of that, it ain't going to happen. Because you're hard-hearted. Hard-headed, stiff-necked. That's who we came from, Brother Hatt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the garden was disobedience. That's where sin came. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hard-heartedness towards the Word of God. Hard-heartedness towards what God told them. I love you this morning. It's easy to love you, and it's easy to forgive. And tender heartedness and the love of God and walking in the Holy Ghost, that's easy. Outside of him, it don't happen. I battle it, Brother Hyde. Hard-heartedness towards things that ends up leading toward hard-heartedness towards people. And say, how you get victory over that? Well, the only way is the help of the Holy Ghost. And to ask God and ask for the help of God. I do.
Yeah.
Redmond ain't got it.
Nope. Depraved.
Huh? That's right. Well, totally depraved. I ain't got it. That ain't no excuse for it. That's just truth. I ain't got it. But he does.
Yes.
God bless you.
Amen.